want to greet each one of you this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. Just ask your blessing on this time together. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and that you would give us wisdom, Father. Again, we just thank you for all you do for us. Help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I appreciated the thoughts the boys had on the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I think one of the things that I would just want to remind us of, the main difference, I think, you know, they brought out some things that the reason the differences between, you know, they told how that in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, God's covenant people, because of that's who he gave the covenant to. He gave it to Abraham. You know, the first thing we think of is a lot of time is Moses, and we go right to the law to see the difference. But that began with Abraham. In fact, it began in Genesis whenever God said that he would bruise his head, and then Satan would bruise Christ's heel, but Christ would bruise his head, or he would win the victory over him. That's where it all began. We sometimes just think the Old Testament is just all about Moses, but it's not. There's a lot of different places there where God promised that he would bring a seed, and he gave that seed to we go back to Cain and Abel. It goes all the way to the very beginning, where God was preserving a seed. And as the world proceeded and got more wicked, and the attack from Satan, and we've got to always remember that, you know, we see these things in the flesh, but in reality this is Satan's battle with God. We're just little pawns, and a lot of times that's all we see of this is the battle that men have. But the reality is this is Satan's attack on God. And not just God's, what he's preserving here, that's just how it's played out. The battle is Satan's attack on God. And, you know, whenever we think about this world, and we like to see things in common sense, you know, but the world has Satan's permission to just play by their own rules. You know, we're kind of shocked at some of the things going on, because there's been a sense of light and goodliness and godliness in the world, and there's a little preservation of that. But that's just because there was a little light that's shining. But in general, it's even more defined now in the world. There's breaking it down into states. I mean, where the laws are completely different in some states than they are in others. I mean, whenever we go to another state that is just got abortion on demand, and even being able to kill babies even after they're born. Let the mother decide whether the child wants to live or not. The laws that are governing everything are just, they're opposed to God. And we enter those places, we enter at our own risk, because the normal rules don't apply anymore. We're in their world, and their rulers and their judges and their police and their governments have Satan's approval to carry out his will. So it's not a not a good thing. But the idea, you know, that's what we want to remember first and foremost, that this battle's much bigger than just what we see with flesh and blood. This battle started in the garden, you know, whenever Adam chose to not listen to God, he chose to listen to Satan. Satan used his wife to deceive him. And, you know, he deceived his wife. I think his wife was completely deceived. She really just fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And Satan used her to sell this idea to her husband. You know, because Eve had eaten the apple, mankind was still preserved. Because that's not, or the fruit, taking this fruit. It was only when Adam listened, he thought that he wanted to preserve his wife. He did this for his wife, for whatever reason. That was all it needed. But he took of that fruit, and he did it with his eyes wide open, and became the property of Satan. You know, we look at the gospel, and a lot of people say, well, it's just the difference between the Old Testament and the New, from keeping a bunch of rules, now we're just forgiven. That is a very, very shallow thought of what really happened. I mean, you know, it's wonderful that we're forgiven, and I think that's the idea, you know, behind all of the celebration of Christ coming into the world and his resurrection. You know, it's a real nice thought, but it just barely scratches the surface of what the reality is. And the evidence of that is how little that affects men's lives. You know, we see people that love that idea of the gospel, but their lives don't reflect that. They don't show it. It's just a happy little thing. But whenever a person really gets a hold of what happened there, and it really gets into their heart, it's transforming. That's what the gospel is we're to be new creatures created in Christ Jesus. You see, in the whenever Satan took hold of mankind, there was no remedy for sin at that time. If someone got caught in sin or bound up in sin, there was no deliverance from it. That's why so strict of thought and strict of rules came into play, because it was so corruptive that it would destroy everything. And there was no redemption. When someone, for instance, the rebellious son had gotten so far that the farther he gave himself to Satan, there was no coming back from that. He was just gone. You know, there was the sacrifices that people talk about and we read about, you know, they were for people who had failed, and they had to make a sacrifice, but they came right back to God. They were pursuing God. And so it was just to keep things preserved here. It wasn't anything more than that. And you neglected those things and you rebelled against God, you got worse and worse and worse. To the point where it had to be destroyed because there was no remedy for them. But the glorious thing, like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Jesus came to set the captives free. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It wasn't just the laws and be forgiven. Jesus came to set us free. You know, the healing that goes on today in the world, it's not because the doctors are smart or they've got new medicine. There's healing because Jesus rose from the dead and broke the power of sin and death. There's healing today from sin where there wasn't in the Old Testament. People can be set free from sin. I remember whenever I used to chew tobacco. I had to make myself learn how to chew tobacco because it made me sick whenever I was a little boy. But I learned and I just kept on going. And I finally got to where I could handle it. And it just got a hold of me. I was addicted to it. And I could quit for several months at a time. And then all of a sudden one day I'd be with my buddies or something and just do it again and be right back to where I was. There was no victory. I had no victory over it. Whenever I began to follow the Lord. I remember I was sitting in church and the preacher preached about just a victory or going on and being, you know, being faithful to the Lord. And it was just like the Lord reached down and thumped that can that I had in my pocket. And I left that church service and I just took that can out of my pocket, threw it out the window. And I never wanted it again. I was set free from it. And it was because Jesus rose from the dead. He died because Satan, he had to die to enter into Satan's kingdom. And then after he died, the Bible says he descended into captivity. And he led the captives free. You know, whenever we hear what Jesus said about hell, there was two parts there. It was the part, one was Abraham's bosom, and the other was a place of torment. And Abraham's bosom was a place where people who had tried to follow the Lord and loved the Lord and wanted to do what was right, wanted to please the Lord, and they obeyed Him, and they wanted to preserve that seed that Christ had promised, or that God had promised of Christ, who would come into the world and defeat Satan. You see, when they died, they didn't have hope of going to heaven. They died with a hope that God would send someone, the Christ, into this world to defeat Satan so they could be set free. They didn't know that. They died without that, only with the hope that he would one day. So here we have the story of Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he's talking with the rich man who's in torment. And he shows that picture of those two people. The one that was saved there, waiting for Christ to return. So when Christ returned, he came and he entered into that realm. And he defeated Satan and ransacked, and took those people that were there. And he led them captive. So that now when someone dies, they go to be with the Father, the Bible teaches. That's some of the difference between the old and new. But the reason of that difference is because we have now that victory and that power over sin. You know, it's not just a matter of, well, I can be forgiven now. God forgave people in the Old Testament. God was merciful and God was good to those who sought it and who wanted it. Many didn't. You know, that brings us to the times we live in now. You know, a lot of times just talking about the goodness of God, it's wonderful to know God's goodness and the victory that He can give us, the love that He has, and His plan for us, His desire for men to reflect Himself. You know, we love that and we see that. But you know, there's another whole side to all of that, and we forget about it sometime. I want to turn to Jude, book of Jude. Verse 6. It says, "And angels who did not keep their own dominion, but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day." You see, here's the picture. Angels who did not keep their own dominion, but abandoned their proper abode. Look at that. The angels who did not keep their own dominion. Look what they did. God put them in a place, and they decided they didn't want to be in the place God wanted them to be. They fell. They sinned. They rebelled against God. See, this is that battle we're talking about. And the thing about it is the battle they fought, they're playing it out with people today. We're either a pawn for God, or we're a pawn or a minion of Satan. We can either choose to live for God and serve Him. We have that power, we have that freedom, we have that will, because Jesus gave us that will when He died and rose again. That power. And the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. They left what they were. You know, it kind of reminds you about what's going on today with men and women. They left their domain, what God made them, and now they're seeking after something else, just like the angels did. You see, all this, what's going on here, is just mimicking the real battle. And Satan loves nothing more than to get someone just to mimic him. What they do with God. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And then it says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as those indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited in an example of undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. One place, one version says, remember Sodom. Remember Sodom. You know, we love the love of God. We love those things. But you know, there is a day of judgment coming. There has been all along. There is, that God is going to reward those for their lives that they live. There's going to be a day of reckoning. You know, and Jesus said, as we judge, we will be judged. You know, so we're not we see that, you know, there's people who judge harshly, and they're going to be judged harshly. There's going to be people that are judged that judge mercifully, and they'll be judged mercifully. You know, God is just. But you know, if we, after seeing all of what God has done for us, to set us free and given us His power, and then reject that or despise that and go right out into just letting, being a puppet for Satan, carrying out the things that he would have us do, staying in bondage whenever there's so much freedom. It's not that God's mean or angry. He's just giving people what they deserve. These people who, these angels that left their own domain and abandoned their proper abode, he's kept in eternal bonds to the day of darkness, till the judgment day. Remember Sodom. That's the thought. You know, we see things going on today that we were not even spoken of just a few years ago. Unthinkable things. But it's all just part of this battle. You know, when we remember Sodom, that God told Abraham to get out of there. Or God told Abraham to tell Lot to get out of there. And Lot didn't even want to leave. Until finally the angels convinced him to leave. And he left, fled with his family. And as they were leaving, his wife turned around and looked back. You know, we think about that. We see what happened there, that even in the night when the angels came there, the people of the city rose up and even tried to take those angels. Why would you even want to look back at something like that? The things were going on, and yet there was a longing in her heart for her to look back for some reason. I don't know why. But I would say is she is just pretty fond of the place, even in all its evil. And you know, that's what happens. We become fond of the place, and we kind of just overlook the evil. It's just, oh, that's a bad part of town. Well, this is the good part of town. And so we love the town, we just don't like the bad part. And I think that's what happened with Lot's wife. She didn't like the bad part of town, but she still liked the town. But God said he was going to destroy the town. There was no righteousness in it. You know, that's the way it is. You know, it just all through history, you know, God doesn't have much for cities. People get together. You know, one thing people might hate about the little towns or the little cities, the little villages, because everybody knows what you're doing. Everybody knows everybody's business. But you know, I think that's what keeps the little towns separated from the big ones. People move off to the big cities, think they're going to see the big lights and things like that. But what happens is that nobody knows you there. You can just do whatever you want to do. You don't have a conscience of neighbors, and it just, we see it happen. It does. It's all over the world. Cities are cesspools. Not much different. And these ones we're told to remember, if any. Probably even worse, because these people have had the opportunity to come out of it. Sodom and Gomorrah, whenever it happened, they got involved in this and they were bound for life. There was no deliverance. There was no victory. There was no power. Today, these places like this, some of them call themselves Christian, have big churches right in the middle of it, and make sure that we have some of them as pastors and preachers. Isn't that a slap in the face to God? Remember Sodom. He said that for a reason. Remember. Remember Lot's wife. He said those things for a reason. And we can, yeah, we know that. And then just go live our lives, getting right along with them. You know, we want to be merciful and patient. We don't hate these people. And, you know, we are called to love them. But we're not called to love them. Love the same places and things that they do. That's what he talks about. You know, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And the bad parts of town don't bring Satan much glory. It's those shiny ones that do. But it's all part of the same town. And I think that's probably what happened with Lot's wife. She probably didn't like those ugly things that went on in her town. But boy, she sure loved her town. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Sodom. There is a powerful, righteous part of God that will destroy all that stuff. While he's full of love and mercy and compassion, ready, willing, and able, because of Christ, to forgive and receive. He's able to clean the place up to. And he will. He will. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock. God bless y'all. Depart in peace.